Okay, we're good to go. You can go ahead and start, Patrick.
You're muted, Patrick.
Sorry,
My first time.
Here's Rachel sabotaging you.
It's good to see everyone's face. I wish it were in person, but this is a good second. Thank you everyone for being here today. We'll call the meeting to order. The time is 2:10. And before we get going too far, I wanted to just introduce Ross Rampe. He is going to replace Brett DeForest for the men's club. Ross, thank you for stepping in.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And as always, our women's club president, Nancy Rothermel. Thank you for being here, Nancy. And subcommittee members, Julian Bell and Jim Lewis. And Rachel, thank you for being here. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes that I attached and sent to you from the last meeting? There any, yes.
Sorry.
Are there any adjustments or changes to those minutes?
No.
I don't have any.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve those minutes?
I'd move to approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
In favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. We should have some, we did have a one speaker request form come in, but I don't know, Rachel, is he logged in? No. Okay. So we'll just move forward. If he comes in at some point that is reasonable, we'll let him in. Otherwise, we'll move forward. I have no additions or deletions to the agenda that were submitted and no unfinished business. So we can jump right into my presentation. Share my screen with you all. All right, everyone can see my screen okay?
Yeah.
All right. So it's been quite a couple years, a year and a half or so for the golf world. COVID produced it was a lot of sadness and a lot of difficulty and adjustments, but amongst that, people were really looking for recreation opportunities. And recreation opportunities that could be physically distant and safe. And golf as a whole, as an industry, experienced a large uptick in participation, very similar to the boom that golf experienced in the mid 90s associated with Tiger Woods coming into the game. So for Oak Knoll, what that means is that we experienced some unheard of revenue growth, even during these COVID-19 times. The year over year revenue increase of 46.9% is remarkable. And in my experience, 5 to 8% is incredible. A year over year revenue increase of just 5 to 8%. And typical budgets would do 2 to 3%. So it's very exciting. It's been very busy at the golf course. And oftentimes, it's been other departments helping out to make it work. Parks certainly lent a few people here and there to help out. Trails and forestry has been very helpful in keeping the golf course moving and the daily maintenance practices taken care of. And I had my fellow recreation managers jump in at times to work the golf shop counter. It was really, it couldn't be more of a team effort. And so when I think back on it, even right now, I'm pretty humbled by that effort that everyone put in to keep golf going and available for everyone. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I think besides the revenue, I think it's important to look at some of the notable revenue callouts that I've listed here. Seeing a membership revenue increase from about 16K to 36, which represents nearly 32 member enrollments. I think we started with about 18. We've seen a lot of new members enroll in our offering. And this is part of the business plan that I rolled out in spring of 2020. Driving range revenue is way up. That $50,000 mark is something I used to do at my previous facility. So I'm amazed that Oak Knoll's right there. Cart rental, certainly another factor that's driven by rounds of golf. And when rounds of golf are up 37%, you'll see cart revenue increase. And merchandise was another important one. We had some merchandise, but I don't think it was servicing our golf clientele very well. And so it was one of the changes that I worked with the finance team to allocate some dollars towards that program. And happy to report that revenue increased from about 4,400 to almost 50K. And I think there's room to grow. Important to note that of the 50K, 67% is cost of goods sold. So we hit our industry mark there as well. So it makes sense. Yeah, these numbers are incredible. It was, looking back, it was a lot of hard work and it was fun and a lot of people were smiling. So, yeah, it was a good time. Any questions about any of those numbers or any of those notable revenue callouts? Okay. Metric tracking tools. So this is a way that I measure the business on a week-to-week basis. These are tools that I have implemented in the past, but when I first arrived at Oak Knoll, I wasn't able to implement right away because I didn't have the budget was written as an annual fiscal year budget and wasn't broken down by month. And so after some time, I was able to compile historical monthly actuals and then forecast when writing this biennium's budget. I was able to forecast what I think we would do in a month based on the trailing 3 years. And I was able to essentially create a roadmap to success. These tracking tools that I'm implementing allow me to see how we're tracking to plan on a week-to-week basis. And it's something I'm thinking about all the time. I'm reporting these results to the executive team. And right now I'm just currently measuring revenue to budget. And that's a great place to start, but I do intend on including a similar tool for materials and service expense, as well as payroll expense. This isn't the most, invigorating activity I do in a week, but it also, the results of it, can be quite fun. It helps me figure out if I need to start to drive revenue because it's smoky outside and rounds are off, or it helps me decide, well, we need to pull back on expenses because we're a shortfall, or hey, we're doing great. Let's keep doing what we're doing. And so I have here an example of what I call a revenue scorecard that I send out weekly. This is from this last September. And you can see here, I'm measuring all the GL revenue categories for the golf course. Based on those historical financials in the trailing three, this is what I think we would do. And this includes a moderate growth posture of 3 to 5% over historical results. And through 8 days or 27% of the month, this is where each of these categories should likely be as an approximate. Yes. And so here is what we actually did when I ran some point of sale reports. And it's showing that, hey, I'm trailing behind by about 5% or about $1,300. And that's not too far behind. But if you recall, the first few days in September were smoky and we're just coming off of smoky August. So I needed to make up this ground and not let the gap get any larger. And so I decided that I was going to sell punch cards to increase revenue this month, which was a popular program we've had in the past, but I really wanted to make sure I controlled it so that our membership became a go-to value, not the punch card. And you can see that strategy worked based on the previous slide. So after implementing this sales program, this is where we finished the month. And you can see with some great weather, I budgeted us to do about 28 and we did 40, which is 42% over budget. And you can see we sold 45 punch cards representing about $6,700, which helped make up a small previous month shortfall. So this is the type of proactive management that's going on at Oak Knoll that I'm thinking about on a week-to-week basis. And Rachel and Michael certainly helped me out. And we think about this stuff a lot. And these are the types of conversations that lead to success. So I think what happened in fiscal year 2021 is we had this proactive management approach coupled with more people wanting to golf. And so we really took advantage to the fullest of that revenue. And this kind of stuff, although it's not super exciting to run that report on my Monday every week, it does make me feel better. I never feel like I'm guessing or wondering how we're doing. I absolutely know every week how Oak Knoll's doing and how it can be better. And that makes me feel good. And that this is the kind of stuff that's going on at our golf course. And I doubt other golf courses are doing this. I could be wrong. Any questions about those metric tracking tools? I put a lot of language on those sheets, but probably the point is we're measuring things proactively on a weekly basis and then making informed decisions to push the business in a desired direction. I don't know if many of you know, I was selected to be one of 16 cohort 6 panelists for the PGA of America. It's a PGA lead program that all of the 28,000 PGA professionals can apply to. And I was selected to be a part of this group. The goal of this group is to make the PGA of America more diverse. It's typically comprised of white males and has been for years. And so the PGA of America has realized that the game is changing, the world is changing, and that they want to have a program to support minority groups in the volunteer leadership ranks. And so I've been a part of this program for about a year. I've got another year with it, and it's been kind of life-changing for me and really gives me a lot of tools to make our facility better. And so when I think of diversity, equity, and inclusion, I think of, and golf, I think that golf has had a checkered past, and it's been very exclusive in nature, being most clubs when they were developed, even ours, when it opened in 1927, was opened as a club that you paid dues to. And the reason Oak Knoll is not that, because our fees are affordable, we are more inclusive than, say, a private country club. More people have access to our golf course than any other golf course. So I really feel like it's my responsibility, our responsibility, to make sure that our golf course is welcoming to all. Some of the things I've called out here in the action items, these are things that we are doing currently. And I'm still, I would say, early in my learning journey, but I'm always open to learning more and diving more into this. I think right away, the language that the golf shop uses to greet people was one major change. We were so kind of programmed to greet a group of people as, "Hey guys, how's it going?" And that perhaps that's not the best way to greet a large group of people, especially when we don't know their pronouns, and maybe we don't even know their names. So really just being more sensitive to how we greet people. The marketing materials that I use, I try to use a diverse cross-section of images that represents our actual customer base, represents all the protected classes that use our facility. I regularly encourage staff to view the lens and walk around our golf course viewing the lens of a protected class. Hey, can someone easily get around our facility? Is our facility welcoming to all? What do you notice when you walk around? Those things are happening currently, and it feels good. I immediately I can tell you We've widened a lot of our pathways to make sure it's accessible to everyone. The PGA of America came out with a great inclusion guidelines for golf facilities tool. It's really just an activity for staff to participate in and asks poignant questions that you answer, that ask you to think about your facility and DEI. And basically we take these results, we will take these results, compile them, and see if there's opportunities for quick wins. And for me, quick wins are free and easy to implement. So those will be the ones we'll tick off first. And then after that, we'll make a list and start to check things off that list. I'm finding that signage at a facility is very important. And although beginner golfers are not a protected class, new golfers are prevalent right now. And making sure that the golf course is signed appropriately so that folks know where to go. They know how to get to the driving range. They know how to get from hole one to hole two. They know where the drinking fountains are. I'm getting asked for maps more than I ever have been in my career. So just making sure we have these materials to take care of the hordes of new players and latent golfers that are coming to the golf course has been a lot of work. That's been fun. I think one of the more difficult things that I'm looking for more support on and constantly looking for some help with is how to diffuse difficult situations, whether it be an ugly joke or a conversation that's held in a public place that is inappropriate. How do I step in and diffuse that so that people aren't too frustrated and they're able to calm and I'm able to stop the hurting language that's happening? That does happen sometimes, and jokes do fly around the club, and you don't know who's able to hear those types of jokes and listening to those types of things. So getting out of my comfort zone and stepping in and learning how to say, ouch, you know, that statement might hurt if other people heard it, has been it's been something I've been working on, but we're getting there and we're making improvements. Any questions about DEI in Oak Knoll?
No, but thank you very much for making a point of doing all this stuff, Patrick. It's terrific. I mean, you know, I think that as a municipal golf course, it behooves us to be very accessible to everybody in the city. So that is really tremendous. Thank you. Thanks again.
Absolutely.
And I would just say that the Parks Commission, the Parks Commissioners are working, they adopted a goal during this biennium to work on diversity, equity, and inclusion throughout the department with our staff and implementing it into, you know, everything we do. So that's something that we're working on. And this certainly helps dovetail into that. So definitely appreciate the work on that, Patrick.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Outstanding.
The next item that is on the agenda is the Audubon Cooperative Sanctuary Certification. You've heard me talk about this for quite a while now. I can actually see the finish line. What's left to do for us is a water quality test at the entry and exit points of the golf course that measure five specific elements that they require. These water quality tests will be done annually. That's part of maintaining your certification for the Audubon Cooperative Sanctuary Program. And we recently received our Monarchs in the Rough milkweed and regionally appropriate wildflower seed. We've selected a site, and I'll be working with the maintenance department to sow the seeds and create that Monarchs in the Rough habitat. And for those who maybe are not familiar, so that people aren't too frustrated and they're able to calm, and I'm able to stop the hurting language that's happening. That does happen sometimes, and jokes do fly around the club, and you don't know who's able to hear those types of jokes and listening to those types of things. So getting out of my comfort zone and stepping in and learning how to say ouch, to use a diverse cross-section of images that represents our actual customer base, represents all the protected classes that use our facility. I regularly encourage staff to view the lens and walk around our golf course viewing the lens of a protected class. Hey, can someone easily get around our facility? Is our facility welcoming to all? What do you notice when you walk around? Those things are happening currently, and it feels good. Immediately, I can tell you, we've widened a lot of our pathways to make sure it's accessible to everyone. The PGA of America came out with a great inclusion guidelines for golf facilities tool. It's really just an activity for staff to participate in and asks poignant questions that you answer, that ask you to think about your facility and DEI. And basically we take these results, we will take these results, compile them, and see if there's opportunities for quick wins. And for me, quick wins are free and easy to implement. So those will be the ones we'll tick off first. And then after that, we'll make a list and start to check things off that list. I'm finding that signage at a facility is very important. And although beginner golfers are not a protected class, new golfers are prevalent right now. And making sure that the golf course is signed appropriately so that folks know where to go. They know how to get to the driving range. They know how to get from hole one to hole two. They know where the drinking fountains are. I'm getting asked for maps more than I ever have been in my career. So just making sure we have these materials to take care of the hordes of new players and latent golfers that are coming to the golf course. It's been a lot of work. It's been fun. I think one of the more difficult things that I'm looking for more support on and constantly looking for some help with is how to diffuse difficult situations, whether it be an ugly joke or a conversation that's held in a public place that is inappropriate. How do I step in and diffuse that so that people aren't too frustrated and they're able to calm and I'm able to stop the hurting language that's happening? That does happen sometimes, and jokes do fly around the club, and you don't know who's able to hear those types of jokes and listening to those types of things. So getting out of my comfort zone and stepping in and learning how to say, ouch, you know, that statement might hurt if other people heard it, has been it's been something I've been working on, but we're getting there and we're making improvements. Any questions about DEI and Oak Knoll?
No, but thank you very much for making a point of doing all this stuff, Patrick. It's terrific. I mean, you know, I think that as a municipal golf course, it behooves us to be very accessible to everybody in the city. So that is really tremendous. Thank you. Thanks again.
Absolutely.
And I would just say that the Parks Commission, the Parks Commissioners are working, they adopted a goal during this biennium to work on diversity, equity, and inclusion throughout the department with our staff and implementing it into, you know, everything we do. So that's something that we're working on, and this certainly helps dovetail into that. So definitely appreciate the work on that, Patrick.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Outstanding.
The next item that is on the agenda is the Audubon Cooperative Sanctuary Certification. You've heard me talk about this for quite a while now. I can actually see the finish line. What's left to do for us is a water quality test at the entry and exit points of the golf course that measure five specific elements that they require. These water quality tests will be done annually. That's part of maintaining your certification for the Audubon Cooperative Sanctuary Program. And we recently received our Monarchs in the Rough milkweed and regionally appropriate wildflower seed. We've selected a site, and I'll be working with the maintenance department to sow the seeds and create that Monarchs in the Rough habitat. And for those who maybe are not familiar with that particular program, it's all about converting maintained out of play grass areas to monarch habitat. These are areas on the golf course that we're mowing, that we're irrigating, that aren't really in play. Unless you're Ross Rampey, you might find these areas.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
But these are prime locations to be converted to something better, something different. And I think is in total alignment with who we are as a town and a facility and what we're about. And so we've selected that site. It'll be something that people can enjoy as they're driving into the golf course. But that's going to happen any day now. We'll sow those seeds. I've considered engaging a class to see if they'd want to come on out and help plant that. I haven't done much more with that, but I don't want to, you know, the timing of everything is important, and I can't delay too much longer. So we're by the spring and summer, we'll be able to enjoy that garden together and show our support for the Monarchs program. So this would make us, once completed, the 19th Audubon certified course in Oregon. From what I can see, the second municipal golf course, the city of Portland and the city of Eugene each have a certified Audubon golf course in the Heron Lakes and Laurelwood. So we would be the third municipal and only the seventh course in Oregon that's a certified Monarchs program. The only one in Southern Oregon that has either of these certifications. And this does require commitment for the life of this certification. It's not, I get it, and then that's it. Rather, it's work every year and seeing how we can improve and continuing to add Monarch in the rough areas and really challenge ourselves to be as environmentally sensitive and a good partner to the environment as we can be. But we're very close. I would expect this to be complete, possibly even here in the next month or so. So I'm expecting in spring to be able to produce a press release that we can send out to the USGA, the Oregon Golf Association, certainly the local newspapers and whatnot, and share our success. We can be very proud of this.
Well done. Terrific.
Thank you. Any questions about the CSP program or Monarchs in the Rough, anyone?
Patrick, you might engage with Suleiman, our volunteer and event coordinator, and see if he might have any groups that might want to help with the community piece of that. Might be a good connection to make.
Okay.
I'm guessing too, we put it out to the women's club that there would be people who would be willing to help as well. If you didn't find students, I like the idea of students, but.
Great. Nancy, I will make a note of that. My intention is to maybe have a bench amongst the Monarchs in the Rough area, so that people can, when they're walking, we have a lot of walkers that use the golf course every day, that they can take a load off and enjoy the scenery.
Well, that would be nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. So this was a big one. I think first I would be remiss if I didn't thank Mary's Barbecue on the Knoll for being our partner for the better part of 2 years. They really started to change the face of Oak Knoll and were a part of our success that we experienced. They're certainly a part of creating our guests' experience. And I think one of the reasons we saw the revenue and rounds success that we saw is that we had a place where people could sit and enjoy their afternoon after a 4 holes, 9 holes, or 18 holes of golf. They could sit down and have a cold beverage and a tasty lunch and some friendship. And we also found that the community that did not golf, many people would come and enjoy the views and sit and read a book and have a cup of coffee or just enjoy. So I really want to thank Don and Mary, owners of Mary's Barbecue on the Knoll, for the time that they were there. They really, really changed the place, and I will miss them greatly. Although I'm confident I will see them on the golf course from time to time, I do miss them. With that said, this has begun a new passion project for me, is finding our next restaurant partner for next year. And there are three elements or qualities that I'm going to really look for in our next restaurant partner. One is that they are skilled in batch cooking or that they have a catering experience or current catering business. The ability to provide food and beverage to hundreds of people, whether it be a milestone event like a wedding or a small 30-person gathering by one of our user groups, they need to be able to execute this type of cooking and this type of food and beverage element successfully. The second thing I look for is a very quick food service. So this is your golfer who is playing and is making what we call the turn. They've played 9 holes and they're continuing on to hole 10. I need a sandwich or a hot dog or a burger in 5 minutes or less. If that doesn't happen, it backs up the whole golf course and then no one's happy. This really affects pace of play. So I really want to make sure that our next partner understands that they have a menu item or two or that they can put out quickly for people who call in an order ahead of time and are trying to keep their round of golf moving. And finally, I think this comes second nature, but a restaurant that is able to provide an exceptional dining experience to customers, whether they're golfing or not, or coming down from the neighborhood or coming from another part of Ashland to Oak Knoll to enjoy the beauty, to have a nice meal. And they have no intention of golfing, but they want to enjoy the view and use our golf course. So this is a dynamic role, and there is opportunity for somebody to do very well, but they're going to have to kind of have the expertise in these three areas, I think, to be successful. Currently, I've begun just communicating with restaurant professionals in Ashland to see what their opinion is, get any kind of feedback, and initial feedback has been very positive. I'm confident that we will have several restaurant partners in the contract process that'll be, so we'll have someone to choose from. And I think that we can expect a beautiful restaurant to open up there in March or April, ready for the golf season. So it's exciting. I think that this is a big part of what Oak Knoll needs to be successful. It needs it to create the experience for people and create a place that they want to return to and play golf at.
So is the city willing to do anything to the kitchen area to make it more conducive to get what you want out of that? Because I can tell you from experience, I won't tell you who designed the kitchen and how poorly they designed the kitchen, but to do everything you want to do out of that kitchen is really hard to do. It's small, it's confinement, you can't see out to the patio to see if anybody's come out there that wants to eat there. It's hard to cater to the general public to come in there and at the same time give the fast service to the golfers that are coming through. So I it's going to take a unique person to do what you want out there, Patrick.
Yeah, I agree, Ross. To answer your question, we're looking to move forward with the kitchen layout as it is. Okay. And I think that if successful in one day that we could consider something like that. I think the restaurant professionals that I've spoken to so far are looking to build the menu around 5 to 6 items, something that the kitchen's capable of producing. So no, you probably won't come to Oak Knoll for filet and lobster, but you could probably come to Oak Knoll for a great burger. So I think just building the menu in a really smart way and cross-utilizing ingredients, you can have 5 or 6 fresh, tasty menu items that you can produce quickly. In terms of the batch cooking, Mary's did a great job with a smoker, on-site smoker, that allowed them to hold and cook food in larger quantities. So I would expect the restaurant professional to have a pretty good plan for something like that, like an outdoor smoker. So.
Okay, well.
I think Jim has a question. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, just a consideration. My wife, being a vegetarian for the last 50 years, was lobbying for at least something that of one of these five items are decided upon is maybe just a slightly less meat-centric menu. It's just a lobbying effort, and she always lobbies that. So the restaurants we pick in town have to have a pretty interesting menu, and there should be at least one item maybe that would be a go-to for a non-meat eater.
Well, I totally agree, Jim, and I'm happy to report that has come up in all three conversations that I've had with restaurant professionals. They all believe that vegan and vegetarian options should be delicious and tasty and readily available. So I'm confident that your wife will be able to enjoy a non-meat centric lunch with you at Oak Knoll.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'll just interject really quickly that, you know, while Patrick's getting the word out about, you know, the fact that we are going to be looking for a restaurant partner, there is a lot of behind the scenes stuff that has to happen prior to that. And so Patrick and I and Tara, our Keywell, our budget analyst, have been working on kind of a timeline. So pretty soon, Patrick and I will be meeting to talk about, you know, what needs to change about the current contract and what expectations need to change and what our criteria is going to be for evaluation of the restaurant. And so then we'll put out a request for proposal just probably right after the new year. And hopefully by early March, we will have awarded a contract and be able to move forward with someone. But Patrick has done a lot of legwork and just talking to people and gathering information and pros and cons and things like that. So that's our plan at this point.
Jen? Is hard liquor still in the program, or is that still possible? Or
yes,
is it just going to be beer and wine?
Beer and wine for now, but if we get a new partner on, we would consider adding back hard alcohol. Jim, do you have a question?
Oh, it was about the OLCC too. I noticed it was in the staff report, and we were trying to promote a full service bar. And is that what Ross was asking? I missed
mm-hmm.
it.
Okay. Same thing, yeah.
Yeah. And what is the status on that? Are we approved for it and then we just have to implement it, or?
So Mary's was doing a full service bar when Mary's Barbecue was on, and now that they're not there, we're going back to just beer and wine until we get another new restaurant partner on, and then it's something we would consider.
Okay, thank you.
I think the real challenge with going, with having full on-premise is having five substantial different hot food items available at all times. And currently the way I have the golf shop staffed with one person and no double coverage unless it's a lunch break, we just could not pull that off. So I chose not to do that. But in the meantime, I would encourage everyone, if you're at my end of town, to come say hi, stop in the golf shop. We've tried to make it more attractive for people to sit down and enjoy the offerings we do have currently in the meantime. So yeah, come check it out. I also want to address, actually before I move on, any more restaurant questions?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. You may have seen an attachment that was submitted, or a letter from Richard Harris. He's the president of the San Francisco Public Golf Alliance that was distributed to you. He's also a part-time Ashland resident. You know, the discovery that I made eight months ago, that Samuel Whiting was the course designer of Oak Knoll, and we found it in an Oregonian article from 1927. Richard goes into detail of the San Francisco Ashland connection with Sam Whiting. Chandler Egan, who was another course designer who designed Rogue Valley Country Club, and Lithia Park designer John McLaren. They're all from the same area, and I'm working feverishly behind the scenes to find that McLaren-Whiting connection. I do, in my bones, I feel they knew each other. I feel that's how Sam Whiting even heard about Ashland, and I think there's a really compelling story, and I intend at some point on telling this, the history of Oak Knoll in a timeline format and having that available for folks, because it is a really rich history and it's very special. And Sam Whiting has been a part of a couple of wonderful golf courses that host the biggest tournaments in the world. And he also designed our little 9-hole course, making it very historically significant, makes it special. And I just want people to be able to understand that story. So look for that. I with that, next year, you'll be able to play Hickory Golf at Oak Knoll and among other things. And so we've got some fun things in the works, and I look forward to presenting that at our next subcommittee meeting, which I hope will take place some point in March of next year. And I can present the formal business plan and my direction for that coming year. But in the meantime, I'm going to be doing some SWOT analysis with our facility and others, benchmarking, and just really making sure that I exceed everyone's expectations if I can.
Yeah, you're doing an outstanding job of that at the moment.
Thank you. Any questions about anything I've covered so far, or anything else that the committee wants to bring up that I can answer for you or attempt to?
Not for me.
Yeah, I do. It has to do with water. And how, could you give us a little rundown on how that all worked out for the course because of the TID, and what are the issues there, and what's the long-term planning for keeping the course at playable and then dealing with the water situation?
Rachel, I'll start, and then if you want to add,
sure.
Feel free. So it's been difficult on everyone. The TID situation has been tough. And as Ross would tell you, there are currently several spots on many of the fairways that are very bare. And so a lot of syringing or hand watering occurred. It was just an absolute, it was amazing the way that we were able to use the resources that we had to take care of the course. But there are some damaged spots. This last 3 to 4 weeks, the cooler temperatures really has been extremely helpful. Once the average temperature gets below 90, it's great for the type of grass that we have at our golf course. And the couple rainstorms have really